So in this weekly study of this unique scripture, we have seen that the Lord Krishna tells Arjuna that you are really not this changing body or mind, but the immortal self. I said that the scripture is unique because I don't know of any other scripture that is preached on a battlefield. This is preached right on the battlefield. Just to tell us that life is a struggle, a battle. Always there is the occasion for us to decide what is right and what is not right and hold on to what is right. That is a battle, because there are tendencies in us which create confusion as to what is right. And not only that, these tendencies many times drag us in the wrong path. And therefore, one has to be vigilant and careful in choosing the right path. After telling Arjuna that this is the truth, that you are all-pervading self, Sri Krishna also tells that this experience is possible, and that is what is called yoga. Conversion of this intellectual concept into practical day-to-day experience. This is yoga. And last time we saw that he told this has to be practiced irrespective of how long it takes to its culmination. Culmination in being established in wisdom. It is a matter of long, dogged, determined practice. One has to be at it relentlessly, regularly. There will be obstacles, but we should not get deterred by that. That is the only way one can reach the goal. If we are deterred by the obstacles, then, we will be a failure. Not only we will not reach the goal, we will go backwards. But if we continue our determined effort, Triveni, the success is ours. This is the endeavor where success is assured, because the means are right with us. The very special thing about this, that there is no doubt about success, is the means is right with us. Whether I will get admission to a particular school or not, the success is not in our power, because two parties are involved, you know. It is myself and the school. If I will be successful in selling some product or not, doesn't depend just on me, and depends on various factors. But whether I will have the experience of my immortal divine self or not, does not depend on anything else. It is here that this success is a certainty. It is assured, provided we keep on going on that path. In other things, even if you keep on going on the path, the success is not assured. It is, how can you, get, for example, a job? You are trying hard to get a particular job. Now the job is one and 10 people are applying or 20 people are applying. Only one is likely, one is able to get it. So even if they all are making efforts, the basic situation there, even in spite of everybody making their best effort, is such that only one is going to get it. So there the success is not in our hands. But in this effort to realize one's real nature, the success is assured. And also this is the most important thing that needs to be achieved in life. Whether I will get good husband or wife, a good partner in life, that is important but not as important as realizing one's own self. Because those things are about the changing. Even if you get all those conditions excellent, yet if you have not realized the self, they cannot fulfill you. And if you realize the self, then nothing else matters. That is why there is a very beautiful hymn which says that if you have realized self or God, it is given in theistic ways, so it says God instead of self. If you realize God, nothing else matters. And if you don't realize God, still nothing else matters. Because what do you get by not realizing God, even if you get the whole world? It is, you have collected lot of trash, which you don't need. One basket full of trash and two basket fulls of trash. You are adding more burden only. Therefore, realizing self is the goal. You are realize it, well, life is fulfilled. If not, all activity is not of any use. So this understanding Lord Krishna gave to Arjuna, that therefore one has to determinedly practice no matter how long it takes. Because how long it takes is again dependent on so many different things. That how, where you started from, with what speed you are proceeding. Like Patanjali says, tivra samveganam asannaha, that if you are going speedily, if you have a fast vehicle, then you will reach early. If you have a very slow vehicle, it will take long time, but you will reach. It doesn't matter whether you are proceeding at a great speed or slow speed. It is, you will reach if you keep to the path. So speed doesn't matter that much, direction matters. So after telling this, in the last class we started a little bit of that discussion, that suppose somebody gets this wisdom. Sri Krishna tells that you have to keep on continuing this practice till all your doubts are resolved, all delusion is gone, and you are established in wisdom. Now Arjuna asks this question, that how is the life of the person who goes beyond this darkness and now is illumined by wisdom? How do we see the change in that life's person? In that person's life, how do we see? How does that person perform the day-to-day activities? How do I recognize that person? Or even in my own case, How can I recognize whether I am progressing or not? What are the signs that this person is now established in wisdom? Now, how that wisdom emanates from his life? What changes does it make to his day-to-day actions, like talking, walking, eating, sleeping, just the common, normal actions? What happens to that person now? When the switch is off, these bulbs are not connected to electricity. When the switch is put on, now they are connected to electricity. So what change has taken place there? Now they are expressing that electricity as illumination. So the life of this bulb has now changed. Instead of being dark, now it is illumined. And it is radiating illumination. Also it is fulfilling its purpose. Otherwise, why call it the bulb? It is just glass piece. It is not something that is giving light. So, therefore, a light bulb is fulfilled when it is connected to the electricity. Thus, it is our life also is fulfilled only when we are established in wisdom. So, what changes take place in that person's life? So Arjuna asked this very significant question, because Arjuna is really a spiritual aspirant, not one who is just idle curiosity, asking out of idle curiosity. Not the questions asked by reporters or the media persons. They want to have some sensational information going out. So they ask questions for that purpose. Arjuna's question is a spiritual aspirant's question. That yes, I want that knowledge, but how it will transform my life? If it doesn't bring transformation in life, what is the use of it anyway? Another information collected. Already there is so much of information we load our brains with. This is another piece of information, that if you do practice yoga, then you will become an illumined person. Instead of unillumined person, your name will become illumined person. And beyond that, what is the advantage that you get out of it? Like in the different jobs, just to make the employees feel better that they are progressing or they are getting promotions, only their title of the job is changed. That one bank employee told me that earlier his job description was something like accountant, and now he has been he is being called assistant manager. He said, no, the job is the same, the money I get is the same, nothing has changed, only the name of the job has changed. So if it is only that, then Arjuna is not interested in it. If after all this yoga and all, what is going to happen? My title, instead of unillumined person, will become illumined person. Arjuna is wise enough not to fall for that. So, he asks, what tangible changes take place in life? That person, what happens to him? Sthita prajnasya ka bhasha samadhisthasya keshava sthita dhikim prabhasheta kimasita vrajeta kim. He asked that what is the definition, what is the special feature of this illumined person as far as the life is concerned? How does that person talk? Kim prabhasheta, Kima, how does that person sit? How does that person walk? Means all those ordinary actions, how they get altered by this knowledge. Because we have very funny ideas. Those of us who mostly rely on our imaginations instead of relying on the scriptural knowledge, we have an idea of an illumined religious person. Then that person will be able to make whatever miracles possible. That person will be able to walk on water or will be able to cure anybody's disease in no time. People used to come to Sri Ramakrishna for such things, that, well, let my disease be cured, or in my family there are a lot of problems going on, please change the mind of my wife so that everything will become now all right. It is it for that purpose that knowledge is working? We have such idea that this person will have no disease whatever. This person will become immortal, means immediately we have that physical idea associated with it, that this body of that person will never die. Is it something like that? Or will be able to have that powers of clairvoyance, can hear, sitting right in Providence, can know what is going on in Japan, see. It is that the miracle, miraculous power that this person gets? What happens actually? So, Shri Krishna tells nothing of this sort happens. The person speaks like us and not like us. Both. We need to see the difference. It is, he talks like us, he walks like us. He eats like us, he sits like us, he sleeps like us. What difference then is? There is a big, big internal difference. And that difference now Sri Krishna is going to tell. It is, the question is to be felt by us. It is important that we see this. We relate ourselves to this question of Arjuna to the answer. That relation is to be formed, otherwise the answer will be only for Arjuna, not for us. The Arjuna's question should become our question too. That I want to follow this, so I want to know how the person's life is changed. Where can I see the change? Because after seeing those changes, I will be able to exactly follow that. Because we otherwise start imitating the great saints in the wrong way. Wrong way means, suppose a saint has a long beard. Then I may feel, let me have a long beard, then that will make me saint. That will just make my beard grow, not the wisdom. It is. Those things are, once I was asked, I was sipping tea, and I told that I don't take milk or sugar, I like the tea just without it. One gentleman immediately, because he never saw people drinking tea without, in our area there, people always want to put milk and sugar and all sorts of other things in the tea. So when he saw me taking tea like that, he asked, does it help spiritual development? Is it spiritual taking this tea? So I said, no, you can keep on drinking the kind of tea you drink. It does not add or subtract anything from the spiritual development. So it is not that if you become spiritual, Your eating habits change, or your other physical, if you had blood pressure problem before realization of God, immediately it disappears, or you had a bad arthritis before spiritual realization, after realization suddenly your arthritis will disappear. No such promise is given. It is to be therefore remembered that this spiritual practice is not for curing of some of these material problems. It is, they will remain. If you feel that I have tried a lot to get rid of that migraine problem, it is not going away. It is a chronic thing. You know, you never know the why it comes and how it will go. There is no cure for it. So you feel, okay, let me give the spiritual discipline a try, so that my migraine will go away. Don't expect that to go away. Sri Ramakrishna therefore demonstrated, he had so many diseases. And so many times he would get the dysentery or the fevers and would fall sick and then died of cancer. But did that affect the spiritual fervor or spiritual experiences and ecstasies that he had? No. In fact, he said that why Divine Mother has brought this cancer in my body, you know, that will remove all those people who come here seeking all those benefits, that well, by coming to this saintly person, he will cure me of my disease. Now they will see that this fellow cannot cure his own disease, so he will not come to me for this purpose. So that is why he said Divine Mother has a purpose, you know, for bringing cancer here. So that those who were coming here for some such thing now will automatically be gotten rid of. So it is, we need to know what is to be seen in the life of a spiritual person and then to follow that. Otherwise, in the life of Sri Ramakrishna, we read that some of those devotees coming there, they saw that Sri Ramakrishna would suddenly think of God and lose outer consciousness and will merge with God in divine ecstasy. And in that divine ecstasy, his hands and feet will become a bit different. He will not be able to be seeing the world around. So they started imitating that, you know, making hands like this and feet like this, and practice of falling in ecstasy. Means losing the outer practice of how they will just lose outer consciousness. It is not the proper way. Swami Vivekananda told all the other devotees that beware, this is not the message of the master. He told everybody that let us imbibe those virtues that make him spiritual, and not these funny things that by making your hand like this and like that, you will become like Sri Ramakrishna. Not so simple. It is the inner change has a specific outer expression that is related to it. That must be known. That outer expression which is related to this inner change of consciousness, that is to be understood. The change of consciousness inside will bring a change outside too. But exactly what change has come, because of that it's to be noted. Otherwise some other thing we will take up in that life and think that we have to imitate that. No. So what we need to imitate is to be properly understood. That not something just to funny looking that person is doing and you imitate that. It is not. So Lord Krishna gives this answer, a very important answer. He does not mention that this person gets any miraculous power. No. Not that there are two horns grow on that person, or not that a halo will be seen around him. We start looking for some such thing, you know, whether that person shines or not. Is there a halo around that person? Or worse, no such thing is told by our scriptures. Here it is made very, very clear what happens. That where do you see the difference? This whole 20 verses that will be coming now, and all these verses, they are about what change actually takes place, how this person's life is. A very beautiful part of this this Bhagavad Gita that is unique. It is, we find these things in many other places, but not in such a systematic way as presented in these verses of Bhagavad Gita. They are great in the poetic charm that we see there. The words used are exact. It is a literary masterpiece, no doubt. In addition to being a spiritually charged passage, it is, its presentation is so beautiful. Lord says that prajahati yada kaman sarvan parthamanogatan atmanyevatmana tushta sthita prajnastadochyate sthita prajna. The one established in wisdom, and therefore will be emanating wisdom, will be, that life will be the, just the presentation, the outer expression of this inner wisdom, what kind of that life will be. And he says, yada sarvan krakaman prajahati, when all the desires, kaman, desires are completely renounced, completely gone, prajahati, this is very important, that not a vestige of desire will be left in this person's life. Sarvan, all the desires are completely gone. And where are these desires? Not sitting somewhere. It is in the mind, manogatan, in our own minds. All these desires are gone from this person's mind. Naturally, one will then think that the person will become then like a stone, insensitive, always morose, no happiness in that person's life, no desires, see, like a wall, no desires. The person becomes desireless means what happens? Our idea will be that that person then becomes lifeless. Insensitive, is not having any emotions. After all, emotions make the life beautiful. And when no desires, no corresponding emotions, what kind of life it is? It must be a miserable life. And so the next line removes this doubt. The next line of this verse says that Atmanyeva atmana tushtaha. He is tushtaha. Tushtaha means completely satisfied, happy, There is no dissatisfaction there at all. But not dissatisfaction because he got everything that he wanted from the objects outside. No, he doesn't care for them. He has found the source of all happiness, Atmani Eva. All source of happiness has been found within. And now therefore, this person is fully happy, fully satisfied. That person has not to now look for the other things for happiness. See, this is a very important lesson that is given here, that this person has given up all desires completely, not even a little bit of his left. All desires are gone completely. Now, then, is he miserable now? No, he is very satisfied, tushtaha. He is completely satisfied, happy. The word tushta not only means satisfied in the sense of does not want something because cannot express anything. No, not that. Or a person who has no motivation in life, an inert, idle thing. No, not like that. Tushta means a happy person. He is a very happy person, immensely happy. Tushta. And how his, where does this joy come from? Not by getting this or getting that. Our happiness and sorrows are all governed by the external situation. If some team I love wins, Red Sox wins, then people become happy, otherwise miserable. So the happiness, misery depends on whether that team wins or loses. It is. And even if it wins, it is not always this very happy situation. This is the bane of all the happiness that we seek in the world. They are fraught with dissatisfaction. They don't make us satisfied. Firstly, whatever joy we get is never enough. Secondly, whether it will remain or not, who knows? Well, this year they might have won championship, but next year what will happen, who knows? Again, that sense comes that therefore it is fraught with fear of losing. What we get from the external objects, it is always fraught with the fear that we may lose it tomorrow. Every happiness that is sourced outside is like that. That when it will all be gone, we don't know. Like our energy sources, we feel they are depleting fast, the oil prices are rising, this, what a problem, and soon the world will be that oil reserves will be all gone soon. Then what are we going to do? That fear is always there with everything that we get in the world. It is, the idea itself is foolish. That our happiness, if it is in some object, then we will never have any control over it. It is, fortunately, it really is not outside. The source of happiness is always within. Like some people feel eating candy is the source of happiness. I eat one candy and then one feels happy. So it is seen that the candy is giving me happiness. But if you see that if the candy was giving us happiness, two candies would bring double happiness, should have. Does it happen like that? It doesn't happen that way. It is. So, the source was never the candy. Even when you felt happy when you ate candy, the happiness really was felt inside. If you observe, you will be able to see this. That even when you were eating candy, the happiness was not coming from candy but from within. So that really should indicate to us that where is all happiness, where it is coming from. Go to that source and you will be happy. If not, candies will not be able to give happiness in life. In fact, more and more suffering is in store for you if you feel that the candy will bring happiness. That is how we become miserable in life, because we think that these objects, they will be able to give me happiness. I should get admission in a particular school and that will bring happiness to me. Now, if you ask the students studying there, they know very well that how much happiness is to be expected there. It is more or less all the situations are all alike. If you feel that if I get married to such a person, then I will have no dearth of happiness in life. Well, ask all such people who it is never like that. It is impossible. Just today itself that I was being told that how my husband is such a bad person and why should I the very fact that we keep our happiness mortgage in some such thing, we are never going to get it at all. Firstly, it is not there, that is not able to give us. And because we think it is there, we do not look actually where it is. So, there is a twofold danger in that we do not see where it is and we keep on trying to find it from where it is not. So, it is therefore to be seen that the source of happiness is in us. Giving up desires is the way that the spiritual life therefore progresses. Shri Krishna gauges exactly what Arjuna's question is about and therefore begins in the right fashion that the sign of a person established in wisdom, the prime sign is this, that he will be doing everything that you do, but your similar actions are propelled through desires and that person's actions are not propelled by desires. What a great internal difference. The ordinary person eats propelled by the desires. The spiritually illumined person eats, not that he doesn't eat, and not that he doesn't know what should be eaten and what should not be eaten. He will eat exactly what is edible, understands the tastes and all those things. It is not different from ours externally speaking, but the eating is not propelled by the desire. The talk, our all actions, can be traced to a desire. That desire propels those particular actions. Each and every action of ours has some desire propelling it. And therefore we wonder that if there is no desire, how a person can act. that person will be inactive, because in our case we see that there is the desire that propels our actions. But if there is no desire in a person's life, then it will be all an inactive life. No, it is not inactive life. It is a very, very active life. But this propellant is a different one for it. It is not desire. That is the difference between this life and that life. And therefore, that person's life is established in peace and harmony. It is established in complete, total satisfaction. And when Holy Mother was asked about Sri Ramakrishna, one very significant statement that she made is that the day I saw him, there is a full jar of happiness completely filled, that is enshrined in my heart. So that is what happens when this person moves about, scatters happiness, because there is that with that person. So with others it is different. We scatter not happiness around us, all sorts of problems and worries which we carry, they get scattered around us, even if we don't want them to be scattered. We always try to present a very smiling facade of ourselves, but just scratch a little bit and all the bleeding scars will get opened. It is so much of suffering is there in the world, and we are all having so much of that enmity towards somebody, the ill feelings towards somebody, so many desires and which are making the mind always restless and ruffled. All that is thrown around us when we talk to people. And we may feel that I was not talking about that. And whether you talk about that or not, it gets mixed with it. Our consciousness, in spite of ourselves, comes out of our actions. We may feel that no, I always present myself with a smiling face. It is a professional smile that is flashed on the cell counters and all, you see. You are greeted by those people there, the receptionist and all, always with a welcome smile. But you can easily discern the difference between a professional smile and a real happy smile. There the person's job is to keep on smiling, So the job is done, all right. It is to keep on flashing smiles. So, but inside there are all these worries, it is, and they come out. They are not, need not be spoken, but they are scattered around. It is like if you have, the poison in a cup. The cup may be very beautiful, very nice, very decorative, but if you sip from it, the poison alone is going to be going inside. Our words are just like those cups. The external appearance is just like those cups. What really is shared with others is our consciousness inside. And so, because this consciousness is that I am this body, I want so many things. The desires are there. And therefore, we are always looking for opportunities. That where I will be able to get more money, where I will be able to do more business, where I will be able to get more name and fame, and of where I will be able to get more sense enjoyments. All those things are continuously making rounds in our minds, even when we are reading scriptures, even when we are meditating. We can understand that, you know. Even when we are meditating, those thoughts are not easy to be banished, because that is what is boiling inside. So, this is the difference between the two. The person externally looks exactly the same, but the internal thing is changed. The cup has remained the same, but instead of poison, now there is the nectar in it. So, therefore, the effect will be different. This person therefore scatters blessings all around. Even if the person is verbally cursing somebody, there will be no curses possible there. Impossible to curse. Those curses also are blessings. It is, we see that in the life of such great people. When Jesus drove away all those people who were selling and all that things in the temple, that was not, it appeared as a very punitive action. But it was not really like that. It is a blessing given in that form. Because there is nothing in that life apart from blessings. That life can scatter only blessings. Whatever words may come out from there, there is no curse there at all. So, this is the difference between the two lives. The speaking, yes, not that that person will acquire the knowledge of all languages as soon as he becomes realized man. When illumined, then that person will be start speaking in Sanskrit or in Latin or some such language. No, not necessarily. It is, some people in India, they have funny idea that if somebody is able to speak in Sanskrit, must be an illumined soul. Now what Sanskrit has to do with that? It is, it has nothing to do with your knowledge of a particular language. And by becoming a person with illumination, established in illumination, established in wisdom, doesn't give you the language, the knowledge of this languages or any other science or whatever. So, this is the change that comes in the life. Now, the details also will be told now. This is the principle. In the nutshell, he has told what happens. But, the actual ramifications, expressions in life will be told now. That it is the next verse. We will just read it and then stop for today. That dukheshu anudvignamana sukheshu vigatasprha vitaraga bhaya krodha sthitadhir munirujyate. He who is free from affection everywhere and who is getting whatever... Oh no, I have to read the translation of the next one. He who is unperturbed in misery and free from desires amidst pleasures, who is devoid of all attachment, fear and anger, that sage is said to be of steady wisdom. All this, not that this person becomes such that no calamity will fall in his life because God is protecting him. No. Nothing. That person will get sickness, that will person will have financial difficulties, that person will may get arrested in various for various things. And all those things can happen in that person's life too. But he remains unperturbed thereby. That misery will not make that person agitated and angry. And also that no particular desire to change those circumstances and seek some happy circumstances. That desire also has gone because that person is seeing this whole as movie. A nice movie is going on, and in movie all those things are necessary to make it a complete movie. It is, there has to be suffering in the movie, otherwise how there can be overcoming of the suffering? You cannot have that. So all those things, that person looks unperturbed. That unperturbedness is a very important sign. So we will stop this discussion for today. If you have some questions, let us discuss those. Yes, Jumna Bhai. Well,
why am I not able to recognize that happiness even if I want it?
You will, if you, when you come in company of such persons and penetratively see that, you will be able to see that happiness. That happiness is not what we usually associate with the expressions of happiness. Like saying, yay, unless somebody does like that, we feel that the person is not happy. It is not that. That because we make a mistake between those such standard expressions of happiness and the actual happiness, we don't see that. We will have to see the happiness and not such norms, social norms of being happy.
So what does that happiness look like?
Oh, okay. The happiness is, it doesn't look like anything. It looks like happiness. That is the answer. The answer is that. It is, when you see that, you know that it is happiness. It is not to be put into certain particular expression like I will be always laughing, not necessarily. It is will be laughing, will not be laughing, will be even shedding tears and yet will be happy. So it is very difficult to actually explain it, but you will know that. You know it when you see it. It is, unless you associate it with some special norms, you may not find those norms there, but happiness will be there. Yes, Pratish?
The living person has no desire. It's very hard to understand. Can we say that he has no selfish desire, but the desire to do good to others, like Atmana Moksha, Sajjava Sita, etc.?
Yes, it is. See, the desires, with what you say makes sense. But it should not be thought that desire to do good to others should not be confused with the philanthropic desires that many people have. They are very different things. That person's idea of doing good to others is centered only on bringing illumination to them. It is because that person knows that that is the only good thing. It is for others, for suppose ordinary, say the big philanthropic foundations, they do good work. It is no, I am not criticizing them. It is a very good work that they perform, we must understand, and our thanks to them. But their idea is that I am real and the world is real. Whereas in this person's case, all is God alone. So how can you help God, you see? Is helping God possible for you and I? You cannot help God. Our idea of helping others is really, there is lot of selfishness involved in that. In one book, Swami Vivekananda has pointed it out. It is very difficult to discern those things. But see, your question is really very nice. Because it is not easy to discern that selfishness covered with this idea of helping others. The very thought that I will help others, you feel that you are capable of helping others, that makes you think that you are better than others. Secondly, you wish, when you have the desire to help others, you wish that there should be conditions that will make me help others. It is, for example, our work of that, let us help the poor people. So poverty has to be there for that. So my desire to help others means that there should be those conditions prevalent where I will be able to give help. So my desire to help poor means that poverty has to be there. I will cure all sick people, so for that sick people have to be there. So doing good to the world is to be, in such person's case, is to be understood in a very different sense than what we think. You are right that this life of that person, therefore, has no selfish desire. And even no selfish desire lurking behind the philanthropic ideas of likes of us. Yes, you had some question?
Yes, Swamiji. If I'm exposed to an illuminating person, do I have different feeling like inner peace in that person's presence?
You will have that provided you are ready to feel it. Everyone will not be able to feel that. It is irresistible, but yet and many people, even after they feel it, will not be able to trace the source of it, that it is because of the presence of this person. It will be traced to something else. It will be traced that yes, maybe I had a nice lunch today or good rest today, so I am feeling peaceful. But it is when one comes in contact with a great soul like that, one gets that feeling of peace inside. It is a very sure sign, provided we are sensitive to that. All minds are not equally sensitive to those things. So we shall conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarehi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapadmadvinisrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantrah Tasya Namaniyani Karmapyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Sri Krishna Arpanamastu.